Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning. It's good to be with you, Coos family. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, "How can they believe in Him if they never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them?" I brought a team from Bali here, a team of missionaries from a few nations, to tell you a story. And this is the story of God through the lives of God's people. A story of God about people's lives, many, many people's. And I'm going to start because I'm a Singaporean. It's my story. I'm from Coos, working in missions. And many of you may not know, but I've been in missions through Coos Help for the last 26 years. And I just want to first thank you for helping Susie and I. We would not be where we are at had it not been for your love, your care, your generosity. So, thank you. Thank you very much, Coos family. We would not be where we are at, do what we are doing, had it not been for your love, your friendship, your support, and your very generous sacrifice. While I was a missionary in the North Pacific, on an island called Saipan, and towards the end of my time, the Lord spoke to me a word about Singapore. And I felt at that time, He said, Singapore is at a place of crossroads. He has called, blessed, and prepared a nation for Himself. And that Singapore is to go to the nations and be a blessing. And then the Lord said, return and call your people out. So Susie and I returned back to Singapore. We continued with YWAM. And together with many, many churches, we began to train, to call, and to send Singaporeans into world missions. That was how I met our former senior pastor, Derek Hong. And that was how I ended up being a family of Coos. During that time, it was a day of prayer for Singapore at a Love Prayers, Love Singapore Prayer Movement time. I was standing by the banks of the Singapore River, right where Raffles landed. And while I was praying, God spoke to me three words: refresh, replenish, release. And I felt that God was speaking to me about our nation and the redemptive gift of our nation. That we are to be a people that would refresh others through our kindness and our generosity of spirit. We are to be a people that would replenish the needs of others through our gifts and our many, many resources. And we are to be a people that would release others to their destinies in God through our many gateways and our many relationships. And I felt the Lord said, as we do that, as we live that way, that God would be our replenisher. God would be our refresher. And God would be our releaser. Around the time of 1998, 1999, when we were going through the Asian economic crisis, I was involved in Indonesia with Love Singapore through a food distribution from here into Indonesia for a number of years. Actually, Coos anchored that project, and we executed the project through YWAM in Indonesia. During that time, as we were going in and out of Indonesia very often, one day, my wife said to me, Susie, she said, Alan, if you really want to help Indonesians, we have to go and live among them. We have to walk alongside them. And Susie said, honey, I'm ready. I'm waiting for you. She knew I did not want to go. I was too comfortable in Singapore, and for many reasons. I did not like what I saw, what I was experiencing, and I did not like the challenges of living in Indonesia. It took about a year later. I was on a flight, flying from one city to another in Indonesia, and God spoke to me and said to me, I love these people. And I have a wonderful plan for this nation. They just need a little bit of help. Are you willing? So we finally moved. In 2003, we moved to Indonesia and then on to Bali. When we came to Bali, we felt the Lord said, create an incubator so that it can be a multiplier for missions. And so with, as our brother shared, with us, a small team of six, and two of them are here, Andre and Niresh, we started training and started with others to begin the ministry. For me, it was the beginning of a journey as a Singaporean, walking into our destiny with our neighbor, Indonesia, to fulfill what God said, to be a refresher, a replenisher, and a restorer, and a releaser of Indonesians so that they can go into missions. I'm going to show you a very brief video clip. It's only a minute and 45 seconds. It's just a big picture of what we do, but it is a message about God being on the move.
God is on the move amongst the people of Indonesia. A people created beautiful and diverse, gifted with rich cultures spanning across thousands of emerald islands. Through the centuries, the gospel has taken root in many parts of the archipelago, yet hundreds of people groups still live in darkness and poverty. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can they tell unless they are sent? U of N Bali was birthed out of a vision to be a sending home for Indonesians and internationals to go. We are nurtured in our relationship with God, challenged to grow in character and develop ministry together. We go to prisoners to sit with them and tell them of the truth that sets them free. We go to our friends at the traffic light and tell them that they are God's children. We go into the slums to give children access to education. And we go to the darkest streets so that we can embrace the lost with the hope of Jesus. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Join us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we partner with God, raising up this generation to go.
You and I, we are the living gospel. Our lives tell a story, and it tells the story of God. You're about to hear six brief short stories. They're about God being on the move. And our purpose in sharing with you these stories is so that you could journey with us. Andre is an Indonesian. He is actually the leader of Youth of the Mission, University of Nations, Bali. And Andre is going to tell us a story of how our first YWAM Indonesian missionaries ventured into mission. Andre.
Thank you, Ellen. Good morning, church. So the story that I want to share to you all about a young Indonesian girl named Ruth. When I led a DTS, a discipleship training school in 2008, a school that preparing, equipping people to the mission world. In Singapore, it's like BMT. So Ruth joined our DTS, and one of the outreach target location that we've been praying is East Timor. So Ruth, with the teams, went to East Timor in 2008 after the 3 months lectures. During the intercession time, Ruth felt that God spoke to her about reconciliation, the word reconciliation. And 6 years before 2008 is the years when the East Timor got the independence from Indonesia. It is a difficult time. It is a hard time for the East Timor as a nation. They're really suffering from the 2002 until the 2008. So when they pray over what God spoke to Ruth, they felt this is what they want to do as the main ministry in East Timor. So they went, one day they went to the open market, and they start, the team start to sing a song, worshiping the Lord, and Ruth began to share about God's love, God's heart, and asking forgiveness, asking apologize for what the Indonesian did to the East Timor. And when Ruth start to share and asking forgiveness, God began to ministering to the people's heart, not just to East Timorese, but also to Indonesian. It is a significant moment. It is a breakthrough in that time. So the team went back to Indonesia, to Bali, and during the briefing time, God spoke to Ruth about going back to East Timor. So we thought, for me, I thought also, it is impossible to be a sending nation because we've been a receiving nation. But God convicted my heart. So when we pray and we send her back to East Timor, actually I want to really thank you for the church for helping Ruth, supporting Ruth while Ruth in East Timor. This church has been a supporting Ruth when she went back to East Timor as a missionary. So it is a breakthrough for many of us, especially for me, that our God is God of impossibilities, that we can be a blessing, that God has a purpose, calling for every nation, including Indonesia, not just to be a receiving nation, but also to be a sending nation. The result of Ruth's story, the result of Ruth's obedience and faith, we able to send teams, short-term workers, to the more than 13 countries outside of Indonesia. This is not the end of the story. This is just the beginning of the story. I believe by hearing and obey God, God can bring impact and transformation to other people and other nations. Thank you. This is.
It is our deepest desire and our prayer that Indonesians will go to the nations. Andine, who's coming up here, is Balinese. She comes from a strict Hindu family. She's like a daughter to Susie and I. Her story is the story of God's incredible love and transformation. Andine.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here to share how the God of the universe found the little I am in Bali. So I come from a very strict Hindu Balinese, of course. And my father was a temple priest and then a healer. When I was little, I was diligent to go to the temples. And I tried to search for the goddesses, want to know about the spirits, the life after death. But none of them tell me about who God and salvation. Until one day, I was visited by a young girl, which is later I knew as a missionary, told us about Jesus. And I thought that Jesus only for Christian. So I kind of forget about it. And as I grew up, I experienced challenges, and I had to stay with a Christian family. And I started to learn that Jesus is a loving God. And I started to love to go to the church. But because of many challenges also, I had to leave this family. And I stay on my own way on the first years of college. And with a little of knowledge about God, I believe that, oh, Jesus is a good God and He will protect me out there. And because I was too young to live in the big city with no experience, and I made poor decision and ended me up homeless for 2 months in the big city, and then I was jobless and abused. So I thought, if Jesus is a God, how can He cannot protect me? And how can He not save me? So I promised myself to forget everything about Jesus. Until one day I got very sick, and also I was abused. And because I was so desperate, I am tempted to kill myself. Until I heard a soft voice in my heart saying, "My child, go back home. You have a father." And then for the first time, I prayed again since I rejected God. And I said, "God, if this truly You, please heal me, and I'll go home and I'll follow You." And then I went home to Bali. I was broken, hopeless, without hope, without anyone to turn to. And I was sent to a discipleship training school in YWAM through OM leader. And then I learned there about God. And then I just knew that I found a God I've been looking for. I was feeling I accepted, I love, I am loved by God unconditionally. So after what I was given a chance to join in UWM Bali. So I joined, and then I even discovered more about God. That God is not just a good father, but also a God who creates a future. God say, "Andin, I have a future for you. I wanted you to walk alongside young people who will facing transition in their life, to be able to assist them in their psychological development." And then through a generous Singaporean couple I sent to college, I graduated from guidance and counseling. And then now I'm taking master in counseling psychology at De La Salle University, Philippines. And after I graduated, I will go back to Bali and I'll serve from Indonesia. And my desire is to serve young people for God. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Bali is a gateway city into Indonesia. And the Balinese are a strategic people to the transformation of that nation. Thus, our focus. Leo is from Indonesia. He's a Methodist pastor and a university lecturer. We call him the runaway Methodist. And his story is about how, when we are in the midst of seeming success, that God sometimes has other plans.
Shalom, Church. This morning I want to share about my personal testimony, how God brought me into the mission field. Story about from following my way to following His way. In 2010, I completed my master's degree in theological seminary. I'm on the road to be a pastor and lecturer. The church provides me all. I have everything. Power, position, and podium. But God called me to be a missionary. At that time, I ignored that call because I like that I have. But again, God called me, "Leo, be my missionary. Leave your ministry, leave your seminary, leave your doctoral study." I felt strongly it's from God. and I'm obeying God. Actually, my family, my wife-to-be, disagree with my decision to be missionary. And I don't know, I have no idea how missionary go to be like. I just surrender and obeying His calling. I began by teach music to the children. Through music, I disciple the children. In 2012, God spoke to my wife and I about joining YWAM to do DTS, Discipleship Training School. It's a hard time for us. We married for 7 months and my wife was 7 months pregnant. So, a lot of process, especially for my personal. Outwardly, I look good, spiritual, successful, but inside, I was broken, sinful, lot of arrogant, pride, but praise the Lord, God fixed me. And God shown us how missionary that we need to do. Through dream, God give us, begin with soccer coach. So at that time, I said to God, a soccer coach? Coaching the children? How come? I'm a pastor. I'm a lecturer. No way. But again and again, God broke my heart. And as we began to obey and surrender to God, we saw how God works in many families through the children. It's a small incident. A father come to me and told me that his son asked him to do 10 push-up. So, because his son said, because dad, you spoke bad words. In our school, if we spoke bad words, we need to do 10 push-up. That, 10 push-up. So, yeah, I asked the fathers, so, are you willing to bring him attend to soccer school again? He said, yes, please. Because through my children, my life changed. This is the I believe. If we obeying and surrender to God, our life will change and will change and we will bring change for the other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Leo. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And this is the constant cry on the heart of God. Niraj is from India. He's married to an Indonesian. And he's telling us a story of the first believer among a Balinese community.
Thank you, Alan. It's very nice to be with you, church, this morning. Greetings to all of you. I am here to share with you a small story of a first believer in a small island of 5,000 people population. About a year back, nearby Bali, there's a small island. We were there. And we came across an old man there, about 60 years. He has about 8 children, 12 grandchildren, and even 2 great-grandchildren. He's a chief of a big family. So we asked this elderly man, sir, do you know Jesus? And then he said, I don't know who is Jesus. So we took a few minutes and we shared the good news with him. And then I asked, sir, do you understand? He said, yes. And he said a prayer inviting Jesus into his heart. At the end of the prayer, he told us that he felt goosebumps all over his body. And he would even tell us that he felt as if his hair on his head was standing straight up. So he had an experience with the Holy Spirit. And then at the same stretch, we explained the meaning of baptism to him. And we said, sir, do you want to be baptized? He said, yes, I want to be baptized. So it was a mangrove area. He put us in his canoe along with his one of his daughter. He put us in the canoe. He pulled us to the water and he said, here the water is clear. Shall we do it here? And we baptized him there on the same day. The next day, we were getting ready to come back to the main island, and I was beginning to feel restlessness, because which was arising out of a sense of responsibility. We had to come back to that island again, follow him up, because he started to believe the Lord. So then God spoke to me and God said, Niresh, you're my junior partner. I am your senior partner. I have more responsibility than you. When God spoke to me that, all my fears, anxieties died down. After 3 days, we want to go back to that island and we wanted to visit him, because this man can't read or write, so we wanted to hand him an audio Bible. So when we went there, we asked him, sir, how have you been doing? Then he told us a story. He told us, on the night after you guys left, a man came to my room and he hugged me. And I started to talk with this man, ask a lot of questions to this man, but this man wouldn't say a word to me. Then I started to laugh, because I am an old man. I am being made to feel like a little child in his embrace. When he narrated his experience that he had, we could see so much of joy and peace coming out of him. Then one day, when I was thinking about this incident, suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Niresh, I have been waiting for him for 60 years. It was when I heard that, my heart really moved. Church, after this baptism, we have 3 small groups of believers there in that island now. And we also see more people coming to the Lord. It has been a long wait for God, but God is longing to embrace them, hug them, and to reveal himself to them. It has been a privilege for us. I consider this as a privilege to be able to participate with God in helping people to embrace God. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless you.
We would really appreciate your prayers that God will continue to work in signs and wonders and miracles through the power of his word among the peoples. Nando is from Brazil. He has a colorful background, guns and drugs, soccer and coaching. Nando is going to share us a story about how through soccer we are reaching families. Nando.
Thank you, Alan. Good morning, friends. Yeah, a little bit about soccer. It's just a bridge between God, his love and care for the people. In our soccer school, we have about 150 children from 6 to 18 years old. Usually we start our practice praying. Soccer practicing praying, yeah, with the boys. And one day, Agus, one of our player, he have a prayer request. He asked prayer for his mom, Ibu Ayan. She had cancer in her knee. We went to visit Ibu Ayan, and she had a lot of pain. She was suffering, but her problem is not only her body disease, but her family have a disease too. They have disunity, broken relationships, blaming one another because the cancer, fearing of God's. We start to help Ibu Ayan and change her bandage in her leg. In doing that, we start to share Bible stories. We bring friends, like when doctor come to help. We bring friends. We share the gospel for her. She started to change. One day she asked us a question. She said, how can I go to heaven? And we explained for Ibuayan that Jesus make the way for she go to heaven. She received Jesus, she repent, she fix her relationships with the family. And long time, she was waiting for the family because they don't enter in her room because they afraid of to be cursed by gods or the disease. Her husband, her daughter didn't enter in her room. And God moved and they have a meal together as a family. It was amazing and a victory for Ibuayan. We didn't know, but God was preparing Ibuayan to live forever with him. She passed away. We thought about healing, but God have another plan. Her husband, Papa Made, he was full of gratitude. And he asked the leader of the village if we could pray for his family in Ibuayan's funeral, Hindu funeral. I never saw, listen about Christian people going to the Hindu funeral to pray by that time. And we went to the place, was full of many people from all the village were there. We went there and they find us and ask us to pray for the family. Before we pray, we ask if we could sing her favorite song. Her favorite song was, God is with us in all seasons of our life. We encourage the family. We say, because before they thought they are forsaken. But we show them how God moved many people from many countries to bless them. And they feel comforted by God. This is what I want to share with you, how Ibuayan's life and testimony, God can use soccer ministry to reach children, family, and communities. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Nando. As part of the strategy of University of Nations, we are building a sports academy to reach into the nation. This is Chris from Brazil. Chris is Nando's beautiful wife. And Chris leads our team into the prisons of Bali, reaching into nations. Chris.
Good morning, friends. Good to be here this morning. I want to tell Rivombo's story. She's a beautiful lady. In February 2011, someone asked me if I could go and visit Rivombo in the prison. So I went to see Rivombo. And I found that she had mental problems. It was a very difficult time, my visitor with her, because she tried to run away and she was very distressed. So I prayed, but I could not do a lot. I just prayed and I went home. So a few days later, I heard they transferred her to the mental hospital. So we went to see her. Then when we arrived there, we saw a very sad scenario. She was locked in a very small room and we just could see her eyes. So we prayed for her and went home. And all my way home, I was thinking, who can help Rivombo? She's poor, she's foreigner, and she's prisoner. Then I was thinking about who can help her all my day. I was thinking about that. So a few days later, I heard she was back to the prison again. So I went to see Rivombo. I was a little bit afraid of how you two look like. So, but I took courage, then I went there. When I met, I saw her. She was so beautiful, well-dressed and smiling. I asked her, Ivombo, what happened with you? How did you get out from the mental hospital? And she told me, Chris, that day you guys went to see me and prayed for me. I had that scripture in my mind. And said, I lift my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and the earth. So this verse gave me hope and faith. And I prayed. And the next day, the doctor came to see me. And he said, Ivombo, you are fine. You can come back to the prison. So she went back to the prison. They transferred her back to the prison. So I was there. And we celebrate, we hug each other. And since that day, we became a good friend. We start to learn the Bible. I connected her with her family. We went deep in conversations. She got healed from many things in her soul. And in the day of her release came, was this last 8th of May, 2016. So that picture there is not in the Kerobokan prison, but it's in the immigration detention center. It was the day she was released. Ivombo now know that Jesus really loved her. She can trust him. She's convicted that she wants to follow him for all her life. She's back to Nigeria, and she wants to let them know, her people know that Jesus is the Savior. Yeah? She can trust him. So, Ivombo is the stories. Tell us God's stories from many people, from many nations in Kerobokan, in the prison in Bali. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Stories that you have heard are just a tip of the iceberg. God is on the move in Indonesia. He's pushing Indonesia to a tipping point. Like Singapore, Indonesia needs to go and make a difference. We are building a university. It's a missions university. It's called University of the Nations, or we call it U of N Bali. It is to train, to equip, and to send missionaries to Indonesia and beyond. This university, U of N Bali, is affiliated with YWAM International University in 600 locations in over 100 nations. Students can begin with us and continue in any part of the world in their missions training. As our brother shared, we started as a small team of six. We are a growing family of about 100 plus. But we need to keep growing, and we need to keep going and multiplying. We began this project with a specific prayer. We asked the Lord, show us the land you have for us and confirm it in a way that we know it is from you. So for 3 years we searched. We saw many pieces of land. We had no money. We had prayer, so we prayed. Towards the end of last year, the Lord released about $1 million Singapore for us to be able to acquire land. I want to tell you the story about how this land came about, because it was significant in the footprint of this university. The owner of the land is a very religious Hindu man. When we met in his office to negotiate the purchase, he said, last night, I had a spiritual experience. He said, some spirit spoke to me. We don't know which one, okay? But he said, some spirit spoke to me and told me, when these people come to your office tomorrow morning to want to buy this land, sell it to them. And sell it to them cheaper than what you want. So, we thank God. We have a Balinese friend. His name is Wayan. He's a pastor, a businessman, and a land negotiator. And Wayan has been a God-sent friend. That's been like a guide on the side to us for over 5 years. So Wayan negotiated the purchase of this land, and he helped us acquire another similar piece on a 20-year lease that you see on the extended part of the building. And Wayan helped us negotiate with the community where the land is at, who will receive us into their midst. Wayan has a friend. His name is Johannes, and Johannes is a builder and a fellow church elder. We took Johannes to see this piece of land. And Johannes said, "This is a good piece." He knew because 2 years before, he tried to buy this piece of land, but he didn't get it. So he had already checked it out. Wayan and Johannes brought a third friend, a known architect in Bali. His name is Jimmy. Jimmy has three daughters. Their oldest daughter did a discipleship training school with us in Bali. The second daughter did a YWAM discipleship training school in Surabaya. And his youngest 16-year-old daughter cannot wait to do a DTS with us in YWAM. So Wayan said, "Alan, my daughters love YWAM. I have no choice, la." So he became our good friend. I took Jimmy to the land site, the architect. And we got out of the car and he started chuckling. And I said, "Jimmy, why are you laughing?" He said, "You see this project here?" It was just behind the land. He said, "I am doing this project right now. I suppose I might as well help you here also." So he's our architect. We knew from the circumstances surrounding the acquisition of the land that this was God's idea, His choice, and He is into the whole thing. He also sent us help, Indonesians. We affectionately call Jimmy, Wayan, and Johannes our three wise men. U of N Bali is to train up to 150 potential missionaries a year. And we have three objectives. Our first objective is to establish vibrant, Christ-centered incubators so that they can be multipliers for mission into Indonesia and to the nations. Two, to reach the remaining unreached people groups of Indonesia, and there are about 248. And we are to begin from Bali to the first seven unreached peoples beyond Bali going eastwards. We call this Project 777, to reach seven unreached people groups in the next 7 years with one team each, seven teams. And our third objective is to eventually see Indonesians, missionaries, go to all nations, and many converging into the Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia, the Islamic bloc and stronghold. We now have the land. We are beginning to work on the foundations, and we need to raise money to build. And I'm just going to share with you that need. We need $2.5 million to put up the buildings. At the end of next year, by the end of year 2017, all our current leases expire. So we have a tight time frame to build in a year and a half. We are expecting maybe we may have to do some camping. But God is the God of the impossible. He can do that which we cannot. We believe that we are to keep trusting and obeying God, and He will fulfill this. We are here this morning because we believe the Lord said to us, "I will send you help. Call them." One day, The Lord said to me, Alan, if you see what I see, you will love what I love, and you will do what I do. It was a dark night in Bali, and I looked up into the sky, and this was what I saw. I saw stars, as you are seeing in this picture. And I felt the Lord said to me, these stars are like the lives of Indonesian Christians, sprinkled across the dark skies of a dark world, lighting up the skies of the Middle East, North Africa, Central Asia. I want to place them among these people. They can do this task. They just need a little bit of help. Will you help them? Koo's family, I'm sharing to ask you, will you help me help them? Can we together walk into our destiny to be a refresher, a replenisher, and a restorer, and a releaser, so that they can be God's bright stars sprinkled in the dark skies of a stronghold? Here are just some ways that some Singaporeans have been involved with us in the last little while to help send Indonesians, partner with them, and help build University of the Nations. Recently, a businessman who was about to buy a luxury car decided not to buy a car and donated the money to help us buy the land. A Singapore Armed Forces colonel brought his three small but very talented girls to Bali, ages 3, 6, and 9. They drew and they painted with slum children in Bali. Moms and dads, bring your children. University students partners with Nando to run soccer clinics in the beaches of Bali and in the soccer fields. Young married couples from Koo's partners with young married YWAM couples in financial support so that they can keep doing what God has called them to do. There is a quote from our founder, Lauren Cunningham, and he says, get involved with missions. It will spoil you for the ordinary. I would like to just close in prayer. I would like to invite you to pray with me. But I'd like to ask you to pray two specific things. One, would you ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to be involved? And two, if so, how? Would you consider praying that? Do you want me to be involved? And if so, how? Can we take just a few minutes and let's just close our eyes and let's just ask God. Lord, we ask you to lift our eyes so that we will see you. We ask you to move in our hearts so that we'll love the way you love, win over our hearts. We ask you for courage to hear and obey you and to listen to your voice. Amen. Thank you.